Fight Club with your host, as promised, Tim Staples here this hour. And I think we are going to be able to hear everything, including callers this hour. So if you've got a question, go ahead and call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Tim and I, weirdly, in a weird little twist, we're not on the same plane coming back from Australia. We raced each other back from Australia on two different planes.
Yes.
But we both did get in just yesterday morning. Tim, how you feeling?
Oh, my goodness. And Jen Phelps is in the studio, too, here. She's just putting on her earphones here. But, bro, I tell you what. I slept 12 and a half hours last night. God, I was telling Jen, I got up, had breakfast, did a little work, and I was down again. That's why I was late for the first hour. I got in here like 5 minutes after you guys had started, so I got to witness the plane wreck that just happened in the studio the last hour. But you know what, bro? I feel great. What a trip it was. It was absolutely amazing. I think we're going to get Stacy on the phone, aren't we?
Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian.
Yes, the good doctor.
And mother and meemaw.
Yeah. And mother and meemaw as well. That's Jen. Jen, first of all, let me just say welcome to you. You've never been on the air with us before,
no,
Jen Phelps.
No, it takes a grand trip to do that.
Yeah. So, Jen, let me just ask you this. Give me your impression of Catholics in Australia, but then you would do an impression if I say that. So just give me
wouldn't.
Your sense. Because you got to hear all the talks, but you also got to talk with lots of folks at the conferences and things. What was your sense of the Catholic faith of people down there in Perth, Australia?
I think with the young people, especially, that you guys all talk to, and I talked to a little bit of them, they're so excited for the faith. They're just so excited, which is really heartening considering the state of Australia right now. So they are the future, and they are grand.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, did you share that, Tim? That
oh, my gosh, yes. You know, I absolutely was blown away, especially by the Indonesian contingency there. There was a group of young Indonesians who were just on fire. That's kind of Australia. You know, you've got in Sydney the Maronites that are just flourishing, on fire, evangelizing hugely.
Mostly Lebanese.
Yeah, the Lebanese, the Maronites, and there in Perth, there's a real amalgam, but you do see the as I said, the Indonesians, lots of Asians, but the common denominator, these folks are on fire. The priests are outstanding.
Wow, I know.
I mean, we had a dinner for the priests, and we had 27 priests and a bishop. And this was not a mandatory sort of, you know, mandated meeting by the bishop or anything. 27 priests and a bishop. And then, of course, we had another bishop, but what was the main celebrant for the big final shindig we had there. So we had two bishops, 27 priests, absolutely amazing. And I have to say, Michael Chong, I called him a miracle worker when I was down there. But that guy, what he has done in a matter of just 7 or 8 years is absolutely astonishing. But the faith is alive. The folks are on fire. And that is encouraging.
It is indeed encouraging. A wonderful homily we heard preached by the Emeritus Bishop of Perth, Australia. It's funny, though, because the bishop from Perth, Australia, and you have to help me, Tim. I can't remember if he's Archbishop or Bishop, but I think Archbishop.
Archbishop.
Yes. He's actually in Rome right now at the Synod. He's one of the one of the nine guys who takes the Pope's place when the Pope has to have lunch or whatever the Pope has to do instead of being there. So he wasn't there. We didn't see him or meet him, but
he sure would have been. I'll guarantee you if he wasn't in Rome.
Yeah, that's I have to say, in the traveling, seeing these places, you really get a sense that the Catholic Church in her priests has an enormous treasure that she doesn't talk about. Amen. And I think the scandals have made us not talk about it. But I mean, heroes, men who are they're just so quiet and humble, but they are in these parishes where things are very difficult. Just living beautiful lives of service.
You know what, Si? There is unfortunately such a negative attitude. Even among folks in the church, but especially the culture wide. And no doubt it's in part, a huge part, were the priest scandals, to be sure. But I think we need to shout it from the rooftops,
yeah,
man.
That's why I came back feeling that.
We're talking, even when the scandals were at the worst, we were talking about a very small portion of the Catholic priesthood, the overwhelming majority. And man, I agree with you. So everywhere I go in the world, everywhere I go in the United States, I see the same thing. The overwhelming majority of priests are good and holy men. They are, you know, loving their people, saying Mass every day, hearing confessions, and they don't get the accolades. But that is the overwhelming majority of priests.
Well, I have to tell you, Stacey and I were at the dinner, and we were the only two women in the whole room, and I have to do that. It's the safest place in the whole entire world we could have probably been.
Amen to that.
As a matter of fact, I do want to say this. So many priests came to the priest dinner where Tim talked that I didn't even get dinner. I don't know if you two are aware of that, but I wasn't even. They were like, we got an extra priest. You're outside. So I sat outside.
You were talking to the young people.
Michael's going
to
be mad.
You were in a more important place. You were talking to the kids. Yeah. You were talking to the young people.
But then I showed up and he goes, did you want dinner? And I said, no, I'm okay. And he goes, oh, good, because I gave it to a priest.
He was very contrite when he did that, though.
He shouldn't have been. He was doing great work. Dr. Stacey Trusanko, scientist and theologian, made her way back to Texas. She was with us on this wonderful journey that we got to make to parishes all over Western Australia, around Perth. Stacey, you there with us?
Yes.
Hey, Stacey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we just wanted to hear. What do you think of the Catholics of Western Australia?
I had this sense that no matter where you go in the world, when you find out you're among Catholics, you already have the most important things about life in common. So it's like you're instantly family.
Yes.
That is so well put, Stacey. That's exactly how it feels. Yeah. Like a Catholic is a Catholic wherever you go.
Amen.
Yeah, I was just hugging. The women, for me, I mean, there were so many women that were participating in the thing. And it was just great to be among them. Like, hugs were exchanged all around. We were talking about kids. We were talking about our struggles and how much we love our faith. And it was really beautiful. And I had a great time being there with Jen. We are going to move there one day.
We are. We are.
I know. I have potential. You and Jen were house shopping.
In the future.
We are. With help, we're house shopping right now.
Yeah. But have either of you spoken about this with your husband since you came back? Or is this just an escape plan?
No,
or what is
just for me and Cece.
If we're ever alone in life, if we ever find ourselves you know how when you get much older and all your friends are dying and your family's gone, it's just you. But we're gonna go be roommates then.
It's a solid plan.
In Fremantle, Fremantle's a beautiful.
Somewhere in Swan Valley.
Oh, you're going to the Swan Valley.
We're gonna go to Swan
Valley. The percentages of wives that outlive husbands. It's 99%. I mean, Bob Hope lived to be 100 years old. And his wife lived to be 102 and outlived him.
Right.
And so there's a chance.
Did you ever notice how happy women look when you say that statistic?
If we find ourselves in that situation, we have a backup plan.
We have a backup.
Okay. We're not just going to be sitting still, letting life pass us by.
Amen.
No. Now, I want to just second what Tim said about the Indonesian young people there. I noticed in New Zealand, Filipinos, lots of Asians from all over the Pacific.
Yeah.
These coming from the Asian countries, Catholics are spreading out and they're bringing really good stuff everywhere. And so if you're in the U.S. or anywhere else and you start to see a community of Malaysian or Indonesian or Filipino Catholics forming, get to know them, because these are wonderful people with a deep, deep Catholic faith, and they've got the strength in their community to resist some of what has befallen the West. They can help. They can really help.
Amen.
So are we going to ask what the best restaurant in the world is?
Oh!
Yes. I want to know what the best restaurant in the whole world is.
We have to let everybody know.
We all agree. It's called Francesco's.
No, it's not.
It's his restaurant.
Francesco's.
I'm worried about
Tim. Oh, see, I didn't. Did I not go there?
You did twice.
No. Francesco is the chef.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Francesco
thought it was...
and Ari, they own
okay,
it.
Okay, Francesco is the best chef in the world.
Yes.
Oh, it's Amora. Amora Mio.
Amora Mio.
Amora Mio.
It's, oh, yeah. It was painted
right across
on the wall.
From the Buddhist temple in Perth. Is this perfect Italian restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. And the best lasagna ever, the best pizza ever.
Yeah, I tell people this all the time. The best pizza on earth is in Perth, Australia. And I went there this time thinking, oh man, what if I go there and it's not as good as I remember it? And then Tim and I bit into this piece of pizza and both of us were like, this is the best bite of food I've ever had in my life. Like it's
until I had the lasagna. And then the lasagna took it to another level.
And the whole table is quiet because everybody's eating this fantastic
That's right.
food.
Yeah. And so we
and
wanted
the salads. The rocket salads.
No, I didn't need any salads. I don't know what you're doing.
No, that rocket salad was also amazing. What I asked Francesco, but I knew he wasn't going to give me any of the top secret information. But I said, what did you do to that lasagna? And he said, in that Italian accent, many cheeses, many meats,
It was
many
crazy.
Sauces.
The flavors are unbelievable. And I have to say, Francesca, Ari, his wife, she's Dutch. So she's from, what's that, Dutchland? Where did the Dutch come from? Dutch?
Holland.
Yeah, Dutchland.
You got it right, Dutchland.
It's not Dutchland. You all are looking at me like, yeah, I think that's right, Dutchland. And then Francesco is from Sardinia.
Holland would be the Dutch.
So. Yeah, Holland would be the Dutch. But let me just ask you all, when Francesco talks, if I talked like that, like if I imitated him, people would think I was making fun of the Italians because it is like the classic Italian chef accent.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So hard to understand him. You know, when we got in some great conversations about theology and whatnot, but gosh, it was just wonderful. Overall, and you know what? People are probably thinking we're exaggerating, you know, when we say it's the best, but I'm telling you, you have to go there to believe that lasagna can taste that good. I've had wonderful lasagna before. My wife makes amazing lasagna, but this was like you're on another planet.
Yeah, it's insane. It is. And they made a beautiful dinner for us. And then another day, they invited us back and made a beautiful lunch for us, which was one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. We just sat and enjoyed. People were drinking Australian wine and eating. And then Francesco comes out with a bottle in his hand and says, it's for Sai.
Yeah, but Sai.
And he's carrying a bottle. No, I got to tell this, Tim. He's carrying a bottle of Coke Zero. Everyone else is drinking these beautiful wines. He knows that I want the Diet Coke. So it's for Sai. I was like,
But you know what, Sai? We also have to let folks know that it wasn't just the food, although the food was unbelievable.
No, the company was wonderful.
But my goodness, we met a couple who met on our 2019 trip. And
oh, that's
now
right.
They're married with a little baby.
Yeah.
With a baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was that incredible as a result of our 2019 trip there?
Yeah.
And Stacey, I couldn't tell the folks how many times I had people come up to me and say, my life was changed by Catholic Answers. Thank you. Tell everybody at Catholic Answers. And this has been going on now for 7, 8 years, I think, right, Jen, that we've had this relationship
with
Michael.
10 plus.
Has it been 10 plus?
It's
well,
been
I know
time.
With the guys in Sydney, it's been since 2009. So that's 14 years. But with the Perth folks, I'm not sure. Has it been 8, 9?
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
And it's been so long.
I know Michael very well, and I know Charbel very well. So it's been,
the fruits,
it's been a long time.
The fruits, we're seeing
it's
all these people. Yes.
And I was amazed to meet one of my students there. Like, talk about the Catholic unity around the world. I have a class at Holy Apostles College and Seminary in Connecticut, and one of my students in the online class lived there. He showed up at the conference with his family, with his siblings and his mother. It was wonderful to meet them. Just
Amen.
Amazing. You're on the other side of the world, and you see a student.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and I was so touched, Sai, by that last picture, Father Christian, who was one of those 27 priests that were at the dinner. and offered to pray for me because of my health situation. And I tell you, I got more than I expected when I went over. He invited me over. We made special time. And not only did he anoint me, but he had this other fellow who was had a gift of healing from somewhere in Africa. I can't. His name was John. John from Africa. How about John of Africa?
Yes.
And he anointed me. They laid hands on me and prayed over me for like 45 minutes. It was unbelievable. Yeah. These people are wonderful.
The Catholic faith is strong. I mean, the priests, again, just before we have to go, because we got to take a quick break, and then we'll take calls, 888-318-7884, the number. I loved the people we met. I was astonished by the priests we met. And I just want, Father Cyprian, who came from Kenya to be a priest in Western Australia, where there's a shortage of priests, just such a humble, generous, kind man, giving his life for other people. That's what these priests do. And so I just wanted to say, Tim, because you were mentioning people saying what Catholic Answers had done for them. And I want all the people who have supported Catholic Answers over the year to know, all over the world, there are people who will tell you that their Catholic faith is because of what you did. Yeah. And I talked to a priest, and I won't, somewhere in my journeys, who said, I just want you to know Catholic Answers got me through my crisis of faith. And this is a magnificent priest. I mean, a magnificent man who's just changing. And he wanted us to know that Catholic Answers had gotten him through a crisis of faith that threatened his priesthood at one time. So I want to say thank you to everybody who invited us and brought us. We received far more than we gave. To talk about the person of Jesus over all those days was just wonderful. But I also want to thank all the people who've made Catholic Answers possible over all these decades, because it really has made a difference to lives all around the world.
Amen.
Stacey, I think we're going to say goodbye to you.
Okay. It was goodbye for now. It was great to spend that time with y'all and see you in action. Awesome.
Love you, Stacey.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for everything, Stacey.
So glad to have seen you.
And your magnificent talks. And Jen, I think we're going to say goodbye to you, too. I'm
Sounds
really
good.
Impressed that you had this was such a life-changing experience for you, that you did something I've never seen you do before. You came on camera and got in front of a microphone.
2025 is our next trip down there, so that might be the next time.
That's okay, right. 20. And so Cy Kellett, you've got to mention the fact that this woman, Jen Phelps, saved both of our lives.
I don't even want to describe how she did it. It seemed miraculous to us.
It totally was.
It seemed like a guy. Jen was driving.
My knees are still jelly. So
a guy drove directly at us on the freeway. I don't even know how Jen saved our lives. It was the Jen looked like she was going to die the minute after. You look like you're about to have a heart attack.
I kind of wanted
to pull
over.
Tim and I are just going like this.
Take a minute.
How did you do that? You saved our lives. How did you do that? I heard Tim Staples scream. He went, like that.
Was putting my hands out, bracing for impact.
I thought we were dead. And Jen Phelps saved our lives.
I will not. You know what?
I've decided. Hand of God, you guys.
I will never joke again about female drivers. I'm not going to do it anymore.
He stopped telling me how to drive after that too.
I think he stopped breathing for a while again. I saw that car coming and I thought, this is it. Oh, here we go. And Tim.
I just thought we just got full coverage for insurance. That's
what I just screamed. And I thought, I was just waiting for the sound of the crash. And then I don't even know I don't know what you did. It was some kind of speed race.
You know what? We had three guardian angels with us that day, yesterday morning. So.
Well, one of them shoved the car hard. And I don't think it was mine, Jen.
The amazing thing, Cy, is that she had to turn that thing so sharp to miss. She's got to lose control, but didn't. It was just, wow. It was Indianapolis 500.
Tim and I will never forget that moment, Jen, that you saved our lives.
It's a California driving training, I think. That's what you learn to do when you're driving California.
I don't know what it was.
L.A. But especially.
I don't know. That car was so close to me going by.
It was very close.
How did I just survive that?
Yeah.
And it was super Jen Phelps.
Well, we needed to be here today, and that's why.
Amen.
I guess thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know what? I want to thank Jesus for all that happened on that trip.
Absolutely.
And all the wonderful things that happened.
Thank you, Michael.
And all the wonderful people
goodness.
We met.
His generosity knows no bounds.
Yeah.
Amen. Michael.
And once again, we'll finish by saying thank you to Francesco and Aria, who took care of us at Amore Mio. If you're ever in Perth, go to their restaurant. It's the best restaurant in the world. Got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
At EWTN, we're committed to spreading the gospel from a Catholic perspective, touching millions via television, radio, publishing, and the internet. Right now, EWTN is looking for qualified people to fill a number of exciting positions. Make a difference using your God-given talent. Visit EWTN.com/employment today. EWTN is the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Probably went a little long talking about Australia, but really was an extraordinary time for us. And if nothing else, I would just would love you to know, because I saw it with my own eyes in New Zealand and Australia, the Catholic Church is really powerful at changing lives and saving souls and building communities. And Amen. You should don't despair. There's so much good in the world and so many wonderful Catholics and led by magnificent priests. Tim Staples is our guest. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Hayden is in Castroville, Texas, listening on Our Lady of Guadalupe Radio Network. Hayden, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Tim. Well, I'll tell you what.
Do we have
I don't know.
Sorry.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. Hayden, thank you. I thought we were back to hour one problems. I'm glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that interruption.
Oh, but, no problem.
I was going to ask how apostolic succession, or like the lack of, affects like sacraments in the Anglican and Orthodox churches and like the differences between those two.
Right. Great question. Apostolic succession affects everything. Now, of course, it doesn't affect baptism and marriage, because we acknowledge that anyone who has proper form, matter, and intention can baptize validly, even in the extraordinary case of an atheist baptizing someone. If he has proper form, matter, and intention, it would be a valid sacrament. And that's because, you know, baptism is the initial entrance into Jesus Christ. As Romans 6:3 says, we're buried together with him through baptism. It's a reflection of God's salvific will of all, for all to be saved, as we see in 1 Timothy 2:4, 2 Peter 3:9, 1 Timothy 2:6, and so many other texts we could look at that baptism, he makes, God designed it, our blessed Lord designed it to be the easiest sacrament because of that initial grace of salvation, justification. And of course, marriage is so profoundly written into the very DNA of man and woman. As you probably know, Hayden, the first marriage existed before there was a church, before there was any religious institution. Of course, it was written in to the very natures of Adam and Eve. So those two sacraments, of course, would not be affected by the loss of apostolic succession as far as the validity of the actual marriage is concerned and the validity of the sacrament of baptism. However, I should mention that marriage would be affected as well, in as much as you have to have two baptized Christians in order to have a sacramental union. So really, it wouldn't be affected by apostolic succession again, because all you need is two baptized, one man, one woman, in order to have a valid sacramental marriage. Okay, so having said that, that's what wouldn't be affected. But what about what would be affected? And that is enormous. Without apostolic succession, first and foremost, you have no priests, you have no bishops, and therefore you do not have the Eucharist. In the case of the Anglicans, for example, Pope Leo XIII declared back in the 1890s, I want to say 1896,
it was right around there. He declared, and that is an infallible statement. It's called a dogmatic fact in Catholic theology, where he declared, this is a matter of historical, a historical fact as to whether they have apostolic succession or not. And of course, it's closely related to the faith because that affects the apostolic succession of all those who would follow. So that's been declared infallibly, that their orders are invalid, which means no Eucharist, no confession, no bishops, and that is enormous. Tell you what, can you hang on the phone a little bit? Because after the break, I want to put a bow on this for you.
Right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live. Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carla Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carla's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Very, very happy to be back here. Thanks again to Chris Check and David Matheson, who did some fill-in for me while I was away on this trip, which meant so much to me, and I'm very grateful for them for making that possible. Tim Staples, our guest. Your questions welcome. It's open forum, 888-318-7884. However, Tim is holding people over through breaks, yes. So you probably won't get on. Because he's done one call, yes. And already we're holding people over for the break. So if you know Tim Staples, that's, you're probably doomed. But go ahead and call. We'll see. 888-318-7884. Hayden's in Castroville, Texas. Hayden, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Tim?
Yeah, I wanted to put a bow on that because we only got to half your question. I dealt with the issues surrounding Anglicanism because of their lack of apostolic succession due to a defect of form. Basically, actually, there's two essential reasons, but due to a defect of form in this sense, that when the Anglicans fell away from the traditional Catholic faith concerning priesthood and the bishopric and the principal purpose of the bishopric, the priesthood, is to offer the holy sacrifice. When they lost that, and that was reflected in their prayer of ordination, then you no longer are ordaining priests. If you're ordaining someone not to say the holy sacrifice of the Mass, well, then you're no longer ordaining priests. And that was another flaw in the defect of form, is that the prayer itself did not distinguish what the priest and the bishop are for, as well as their level of holy orders. So those were the problems that led to the declaration that we have invalid orders and therefore no apostolic succession. Now, Orthodoxy, on the other hand, the Catholic Church teaches they have all seven sacraments because they have never fallen like the Anglicans away from acknowledging the purpose of the priest. They understand the two degrees of holy orders being, or three actually, being the bishop, priest, and deacon. And so they have retained their apostolic succession. And that has huge ramifications because you'll notice in the Orthodox churches, they have remained remarkably strong. Now, there are other issues we have with the Anglicans, unfortunately. Problems with marriage, you know, their belief in divorce and remarriage. And there are other problems with regard to our Blessed Mother a little bit, purgatory, and a few matters like that. But they have remained remarkably strong, and that's precisely because they have all seven sacraments. So they have that, you know, deluge of grace that comes through the sacraments, and no doubt that's why over the last 1,000 years they have remained so strong and really so close to us, as Pope St. John Paul the Great said it so beautifully, you know, without our Orthodox brethren, it's almost like we're breathing on one lung. You know, we have our right lung and our left lung, and we've lost our left lung. And so we pray for a reunion. Almost had it at the Council of Florence. In fact, we did have it temporarily, but unfortunately it did not last. But we certainly pray for a reunification, because I'll tell you what, when that happens, and I believe it will, the impact on the whole world is going to be dramatic. I mean, when you get the Orthodox and Catholics together, oh my goodness, we'll change this world in one generation. That's my humble opinion. But does that help at all, brother?
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to ask you to get like a concise answer on that, because I heard some things and I was looking around for kind of a summary, like the difference between Anglican ordination and the Orthodox ordination and how that affected. Yeah. Things, especially like the Mass, like you said.
So, yeah, absolutely,
that
brother.
That clears it up.
All right, brother.
All right, Hayden, thank you very, very much. 888-318-7884, the number. Going to Alabama. Joshua is in Alabama watching on YouTube. Joshua, thank you for your patience. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Very yes. Well, yeah. Finally, we got clear phones.
Yeah, there you go. I got my earbuds in. So, all right, so I'm a Protestant, and I'm looking into Catholicism. Because I haven't really had a home church in quite a long time, and it's been a few years of a kind of a spiritual journey that I've been on, and I really want to find the best way to follow Jesus and yes. to be at peace spiritually. Yeah. But I find myself being like really overwhelmed by Catholicism. It feels like there's so much to keep up with. And I just wondered, what advice do you guys have for me, and can there be simplicity in Catholicism?
Yes. Yeah, brother. Oh, you're really singing my tune right now. Because I, too, when I converted, I don't know if you know that, brother, but I was raised in evangelical. I later became a youth minister in an Assembly of God community. And I studied my way into the Catholic faith. I was actually trying to disprove it. That's how I became Catholic. But you know what? If I could encourage you, brother, on one level, Catholicism is really simple. Believe in Jesus and follow his church. That's what Jesus asks of us. Believe in him, follow his church. You know the text of Matthew 18, 15 through 18, right? Once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot help but to see that Jesus gave his authority to his church to speak for him. He's going away, right? He's going to send the Holy Spirit upon his church to empower them, and so that his church would speak for him in such a radical way that he could say in both Matthew 10:40 and Luke 10:16, if they hear you or receive you, they hear or receive me. If they reject you, they reject me.
And of course, if they reject me, they reject my Father, he says. And in Matthew 18, as I mentioned before, verses 15 through 18, he says, if your brother shall offend against thee, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take one or two with you, that in the mouths of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he will not even hear them, tell it to the church. And the one who fails to hear the church is to be as a heathen and a publican. For whatever you, that is the church, whatever the church binds on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever she looses on earth is loosed in heaven. And it really is that simple. So that whenever we had issues, according to Jesus, of course you go to the church. Now, unfortunately, what complicated things, my friend, was a little over 500 years ago when some men, namely Martin Luther, John Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, and down the road we go, decided they knew more than the church, and they started their own churches. And today we have literally thousands of them confusing every issue concerning our Catholic Christian faith. Unfortunately, because of that confusion, I was left in a situation kind of like what you are, and I had thousands of denominations, and oh my gosh, you know, who's right and who's wrong? And I went through the study, the agonizing study of years weeding through, and I came to the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith and realized, of course, that Jesus didn't establish the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Anglicans and all the rest. These are all started by men. He started one church, and that is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, brother. It really is that simple. And we can spend our lives, my friend, diving deeper into that one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. But if you start right there, it's very, very simple. And then dive into your faith, man, and have fun. I've been studying Catholicism now. It's hard for me to even believe this, but I've been Catholic now for, 35 years. And I've learned a lot, but I realize I'm only scratching the surface because the faith is so rich. So don't get confused by those two realities. You can study the Catholic faith for 500 years, and you've still got a million years more to dive into because it's that rich, it's that deep. But what's required for you to believe in Jesus and that he established his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And of course, that includes, you know, the creed, the dogmas of the faith, the doctrines, all the infallible teachings of the church. But can you follow me on that? How on one level, it's simple. Believe in Jesus and his church. And then dive in. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And you said something that I kind of relate to is that, like, all the different denominations and stuff, it's very hard to find which one. Because for me, I'm like, someone's got to be right. And it doesn't make sense for me the amount of disagreement that they have. So that's one thing that draws me to Catholicism is yes. The unity that they have. And I think that one reason why it's overwhelming is because there's a little bit of fear associated with it. Like, if Catholicism is true, I feel like I'm in trouble or something, you know, because I don't know what to do next, you know. And that's, you know, that's something I want my soul to be saved. And
amen.
I'm by no means a perfect human being. And, you know, the Lord has definitely got some work to do on me.
Yeah.
And so it's just, how do I get from where I'm at now to that place where I can, you know, rest my worries and
amen.
And be at peace and follow him.
Brother, have you gone to a local parish yet and talked with a priest?
I almost did Sunday, which I think this was really funny because I actually didn't end up going, but my dad ended up going to a Spanish mass, and he doesn't even speak Spanish, and he came back exhilarated. He was
wow.
He was so into it. I thought that was really funny, and I was like, man, why didn't you tell me? I was planning on going, but then I didn't.
Wow.
But I have a question, if you don't mind. I don't want to take too much time
sure.
from other callers.
Okay, go ahead.
Anything.
Well, we got about a minute before we got to take a break.
Yeah. Okay. Ask your question, so and I'll probably get to it on the other side of the break. Go ahead.
Okay. So if you're me, you're a Protestant, you know nothing about Catholicism. What's the first step going into a parish? Like, I don't even know what to do in Mass, or do I just sit in the back and try to talk to a priest after?
Yeah. Here, you know what? Number one, we're going to send you a book, brother, called Why We're Catholic by one of our apologists here, Trent Horn. We're going to get that out to you, because that's it's a great overview of just what the title says, Why We're Catholic. That's going to help you tremendously. But then I would encourage you, yes, go to the parish, talk to your local pastor, and he'll probably have you go into some classes and such. But get ready, brother. It's going to be a fun ride. And stay in touch with us, too, because I would love to hear how things go. And we can help you all along the way. Go to Catholic.com. That's our website. We've got an awesome search engine. We've got over 100,000 pages of free information there. You do a search on our website, and you'll find answers to virtually anything you ask about our Catholic faith. And in fact, if you ask something we don't have an answer to, let me know, because we'll get an answer and we'll put it on that website, because that's our goal, is to answer every question folks can come up with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you, guys. And if you don't mind, keep me in your prayers.
You got it, brother.
Joshua, we will.
Tell you what, you just give your address to our folks there so we can send you that book.
Take a quick break. Be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I pray that EWTN News In Depth will help the everyday life of everyday Catholics by bringing them the news that matters to them and helping them to have the information at their fingertips for whatever it is that they need to be able to engage with the world confidently with their faith.
EWTN News In Depth with Montse Alvarado, Friday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest, and it's Open Forum. And off we go to Connecticut. Davis is in Connecticut, listening on our website, Catholic.com. Davis, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Yeah, I love the show. By the way, one thing I don't understand, it seems like the Catholic Church is indifferent to the suffering of conservative Christians in Europe. For example, there's someone in Ireland who's a Protestant, and he's being punished because he doesn't want to use certain, you know, gender words for so-called transgender people.
Right.
And I don't hear the Pope screaming about that. And there's a woman in Finland who's a Lutheran, and she's getting in trouble because she doesn't say nice things about Muslims. And right. She's, you know, potentially facing jail time. And the Pope, who's, you know, Mr. Champion of all religions are equal, doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Right. Okay. Well, first of all, Pope Francis has never said all religions are equal. Actually, Pope Francis teaches that Jesus Christ established the Catholic Church. And while he has said, just to clarify this, he has said, and I think this is where the misunderstanding comes in, he says that the existence of these religions all over the world are the will of God. And that is when, you know, he got lambasted for saying that. And that's why people were saying he's saying all religions are equal. And that's not what he said. In fact, the Vatican put out a clarification that said what he's talking about is nothing happens that is not God's will. But we have to distinguish between the antecedent will of God and the consequent will of God. Of course, it's God's antecedent will that everybody be Catholic. And Pope Francis believes that. We all believe that as Catholics. But as a consequence of the rejection of God, the free rejection of God, on macro, micro level, individual level. And of course, that is permitted by God because he created us with free will and he allows us to freely choose against him. That's why we say it becomes his consequent will. It's kind of like this, brother. It's God's will that everybody be saved. But if you or I reject God's antecedent will for our salvation and choose to reject him, it becomes his consequent will that we go to hell, right? Antecedent will, all saved. Consequent to the fact that we have free will, you know, he will allow us to go to hell if we want to. So I just wanted to clarify that, number one. But number two, Pope Francis has spoken on numerous occasions, as have bishops around the world, about the persecution of Christians in particular. Pope Francis, when he talks about the persecution of Christians, and I've read homilies where he has done that, he usually says Christians in general, not just Catholics. But of course, being our pastor as Catholics, he does have a special interest, as he should, in Catholics. So in fact, the church is very much concerned about the persecution of Christians, but the church is concerned about the persecution of anyone for their religious beliefs alone. So understand, it's a big world, right? The Pope has 1.3 billion Catholics to look out after. So it's very difficult for the Pope to be able to speak to every individual situation. Like, we have thousands of them in the United States. You have hundreds of them in Ireland. You have hundreds of examples all over the world. So I would just, you know, kind of give him the benefit of the doubt if he doesn't speak to a particular case that you may be interested in. But the fact is, the church speaks to it. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, the church condemns the persecution of anyone based on their ethnicity, religious beliefs, etc. Does that make sense?
But just final point. So the Pope is concerned about the political persecution of Lutherans in Finland who are conservatives who say things that aren't, in his view, pleasant about Muslims.
Yes.
He thinks that it's a horrible sin for them to be persecuted.
It's a horrible sin, according to Pope Francis. Absolutely. That people are persecuted for their religious beliefs. I have personally read as well as heard him speak on these matters. But most importantly, it's contrary to the dignity of the person and it's contrary to our Catholic faith. What we believe in is evangelism. And I would encourage you to read. In fact, Pope Francis wrote an incredible document called Evangelii Gaudium, which means the joy of the gospel, and it was on evangelism. And he talks about in that wonderful apostolic exhortation how that, and he basically goes through every strata, every kind of person you can imagine, and calls us as Catholics to evangelize all of them, because everyone needs the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics. That's what we have to be about, and this is what this Pope has been about. I mean, my goodness, he reorganized what's called the Roman Curia, which are the departments that basically run the Holy See, I should say. And for the last 500 years, the top category, hierarchically, of all the departments of the Roman Curia has been the doctrine of the faith, right? The dicastery for the doctrine of the faith. He moved that down to number two, and he placed the dicastery for evangelism as number one. And this is Pope Francis's heart. He put it number one. Why? Because he's calling all of us as Catholics to get out into the whole world and bring Jesus Christ, again, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics, to every single person on this planet. That's our number one goal. And as Pope Francis says, historically, it's in the process of evangelizing the world, that's where doctrinal matters come up that need to be dealt with, and that's why he put that as number two. But number one is about evangelism. That's what Pope Francis is about, and respecting the dignity of each and every human person. We do not proselytize, that is, use untoward or, you know, deceiving sorts of ways of evangelization. The church says, no, we do not impose our faith on anyone. We propose our faith to everyone. That is the message of Pope Francis and the Catholic Church.
Davis, thank you very, very much. If you'd like to communicate with us more about it, radio@catholic.com is our website. I'd be interested to hear the names of the people that you're concerned about in Europe. radio@catholic.com. Christine is in Chicago, Illinois. Christine, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
I don't have a question. I have a kind of an answer.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that everybody's got to be Catholic to go to heaven. I disagree on that.
Okay. Well, Christine, I agree with you.
Well, what do you know? I thought I was going to have to yell at you.
No.
What a relief.
Let me explain, Christine. You know, a lot of folks think that, Christine, because we have a doctrine of our faith that teaches there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. And we believe that. But, Christine, it has to be understood properly, because I'm sure you would agree that Jesus in John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's what Jesus teaches. But now, Christine, even though Jesus teaches that in John 14:6, in John 15:22, the next chapter, he also said concerning many of the Jews who were then rejecting him, he said, if I had not spoken to them, they would have no sin. Now I have spoken to them, their sin remains, which indicates to us that you're not responsible for what you could not have known. Nobody is going to go to hell because of something they did not and could not have known. You are only going to go to hell if you knowingly reject the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, Christine, we believe the same about the Catholic Church, because the church is, according to Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, actually 21, 22, and 23, Ephesians chapter 1 says that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is Jesus extended into the world. So if someone freely, knowingly rejects Jesus Christ and his church that he established, they will not go to heaven. But that's because they knowingly reject the Catholic Church that was established by Jesus Christ. And so we're evangelizing in order to bring the truth that Jesus established one church. Christine, he didn't establish 33,000 Protestant denominations. These were all started by men. The Catholic Church was started 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ. It is the one church. But we've got to filter through all the confusion that's been caused by the rebellion of the Protestant reformers 500 years ago and the confusion they caused and continue to cause all around the world. And that's what we're about here. But we leave the judging to God, right? If someone believes in Jesus, in fact, we believe if somebody's a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim and they've never rejected the truth of Jesus Christ in his one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, if they follow the grace of God the best they can where they are, God will be their judge, and we believe there is a possibility even for their salvation. But we need to get Jesus and his church to everyone, because that is the ordinary means of our salvation. That is the safest and best way to get to heaven. In fact, in that qualified sense, it's the only way.
Christine, we're very, very grateful for your call. If you'd like, I'd be happy to send you a little booklet we have called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. If you hang on the line, we'll send it to you. And I hope you'll call again and we'll talk again, because I'm really glad you didn't have to yell at us. I'm really glad that happened. Tim Staples, welcome back to America.
Hey.
Thanks for being, it was just wonderful traveling with you for a week, and it's great to be home.
Great to be back with you, Cy Kellett. And it's great to hear the voices of our folks here at Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, that'll do it for us today, but we're going to come back with a great show for you tomorrow. I hope you will join us then, and we'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.